Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God and good evening. My name is Daryl Hikes, and I will be your host for the next, let's see, what do we have here? 29 minutes and 41 seconds. You're listening to Arise and Shine Global Ministries, so let's pray and get right into the program. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for the opportunity of being able to minister to all of the people listening out there, your precious people. I thank you, you know, that you speak through my vocal cords, think through my mind. I thank you that it's all of you, none of me, that you get the glory out of this. You get the desired outcome, which is salvation in every area of life, spirit, soul, body, finances, and relationship. You're looking for people to be set free. And so I just set myself in agreement that liberty, freedom, deliverance takes place tonight in the lives of anybody out there that has a desire for it. So we just thank you that it's a super Sunday. You know, we got an hour left here, Central Standard Time, but you know, I don't care if it's 1 second left, you know, it's still a super Sunday, and we still have an opportunity to just be thankful, grateful, to praise you and to tell you how much we love you because of who you are, first of all, and for all that you do for us. So it's in the mighty, wonderful, matchless, majestic, super cool name of Jesus that we pray. And if you heard that prayer and you agree with it, just say amen. Hey, today's a great day. Go ahead and make that decision. Go ahead and just a great day. Have it, receive it, enjoy it. Just do it, okay? I mean, there's no other way I can put it. You know, as I was preparing for this program, I was a lot of times what happens, or at least in my life, I'll have a particular subject or something on my mind, and then God, he'll say, hey, why don't you talk about this? So he asked me to go to Romans chapter 12 and simply read verses 1 and 2. And so I'm going to do that. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It's one of the first Bibles that I encountered before I got born again. And then it actually, God used it to help me accept my calling. So, you know, I went to a Bible study, and I was invited to a Bible study, and I was just taught out of I just decided to go. And this gentleman, his name is Pastor Danny Chakota, he had this Spirit-Filled Life Bible that just got my attention. And I said, I've got to get me one of those Bibles that he has, because he was just reading all the different scriptures about Jesus and how Jesus loves you and how he has a plan for your life. And at that particular time, I didn't know Jesus loved me, and I didn't know he had a plan for my life. So I was captivated by the words that I heard out of the Bible. So I made it a point that as I minister the gospel to people, make sure I stick with the scriptures, because it's the word of God that's living, powerful, active, able to get past all the fluff, all the hardness, all of the chaos and confusion and the doubts. See, the word of God can get past all of that and get to the root of the matter. It can reach the heart of a person. Sometimes we, with our own words and our own ability, we can't reach people, but that word can. It's incorruptible. I don't care what's coming at it. It's like a meteor, you know, where you can see the flames and it's just still going. I mean, it's just going. And so that's what the word does. The word gets down to the root of issues. So Romans chapter 12, let's look at verse 1. And the heading is Living Sacrifices to God. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Rational. It's the least you can do. It's just to present your bodies, your faculties, all that you are, all that you have, all that makes you who you are. You know, present your eyes to God and say, Lord, use my eyes. Don't allow my eyes to be used for things that are not pleasing to you. Use my mouth. Use my hands. Use my feet. You know, use my heart. Use my compassion. Use my love. I yield it over to you so that we can get it to people that are listening or that are in our presence that we encounter on a daily basis. So present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, verse 2 talks, it says, and do not be conformed, shaped, fashioned to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's like, you know, as a youth, I loved watching Transformers. I really liked it. You know, love, when you say love, God is love. I really liked watching the cartoon Transformers. You know, Optimus Prime would turn into he'd be a robot, but then he turned into a truck. We would turn from a truck to a tractor into a robot. And, you know, and then Megatron. See, now Megatron in the cartoons, he became a gun. But then in the movie, he was like a plane or something. He could fly, and I mean, all this kind of stuff. But I think I'm going to have to go back and watch the cartoon then, because sometimes, you know, it's like, wait a minute, cartoon, he's this. But anyway, you know, I like how they would transform. So there would be something that they would go from one thing to another, but they could go back to that thing. So when it says, and do not be conformed, shape, fashion to this world, but be transformed. Why? What are you transforming? By the renewing of your mind. The first thing a born-again believer has to do, I would highly recommend it, once you accept Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, you have to start thinking along the lines of how the kingdom of God operates. The first thing I did after I got born again, I was interested in this thing called tongues. What is it? What do you mean by tongues? A language. Okay. When there are three languages that permeate the earth. There's a heaven. Well, let's start with it. There's a demonic language. There's a communication by which people communicate with demonic spirits. They may not believe in demonic spirits, but when you use negative language, when you curse, when you do all those things, you're signaling certain things to come in. You may not think about it, you may not realize it, you may not even believe it. But you are using a communication that is actively invading your life or coming in because you've opened the door. That's why it's so important that you watch the words that go in, that you see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and they get in your heart. Because when you speak them back out, whatever you're connecting with, that's what's going to show up. So then there's what's called an earthly language, to where I just communicate with humans. Hey, how you doing today? Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm doing fantastic. That's earthly language. That's just where we can communicate. You don't even have to be born again just to communicate on a human level, you know. And born-again believers can communicate with people that are not born again just on a human level. Hey, Bob, how'd you do on the project? Well, you know, I did this, and wow, that's pretty good. Hey, so how's your project coming? Well, I was kind of struggling. So let me help you. See, we're just communicating on a human level. Then there's what's called a heavenly language. There's a language by which you communicate with God. Think about it. If I was born in China, and I grew up in a household that spoke Mandarin, what language do you think I'm gonna speak? I'm going to speak Mandarin. If I grow up in the United States, and the primarily dominant language is English, I'm going to speak English. I'm going to learn English. I'm going to be around English. I'm going to speak. You grow up in France, French. You see what I mean? So when you get born again into a family, you're going to speak that language. So God says when you're born again into the kingdom of God, he gives you a language. You just have to believe and receive by faith that you have that language, and then you can operate in it. Just like my language, I control it. I can speak when I want to. If I don't want to speak in it, I don't. I don't have to speak it. I don't have to prove anything to anybody because that's between me and God. The devil doesn't know what I'm saying. People might not know what I'm saying. I can pray for the interpretation. So there, you know, maybe that's for somebody out there listening. I'm not sure who it is, but there are three languages. So you have to start renewing your mind with the Word of God. And don't let people talk you out of what you believe. If you believe this Word, stay rooted and grounded in the Word, because let me tell you something. When it's all said and done, everybody goes home, the Word is still there, and the Word works. I'm living proof. If the Word can change me, the Word can change anybody. Paul said he was the chief. He was the center of sinners. He was the chiefest of sinners. Well, you know, some of us out there could have gave Paul a run for his money. But God got a hold of us, and he changed us. And we allowed the Word to get in so that we could be changed. All right, I got about 18 minutes left, and I haven't even got to my notes yet. Okay. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. So there can be some evidence. There can be some proof that you're changed. Well, you know, I'm born again. Well, we need to see some proof. Well, that's between me and God. Yeah, but we still need to see some evidence. If you're accustomed to cussing everybody out and just going flying off and just shooting off at the mouth and stuff like that, and you say you're born again, well, if you were doing that before you were born again, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. However, something should be different. That's just how it's set up. Something should be different. You know, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It talks about we're a new creature. We're a new creation. Let's go there really quick. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's see. Yep, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she, that person is. It doesn't say it. It says is. Is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's pretty simple. If you're new, you shouldn't be like the old. Now, it's a process. Totally understand that. But we need to be working towards that. We can't just keep using the excuse where, you know, God's still working on me. Well, you know, well, give me a time frame. Give me something. Because, you know, you're 50 years old. You say you've been born again since you were 10, so that's 40 years later. Let's see. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, so it's good, and acceptable, and perfect will of God. So God has a good will for your life. He has an acceptable will for your life. And he has a perfect will for your life. Your responsibility is to start the process of renewing your mind if you haven't already done that. That's the important part. Just start the process of renewing your mind. Trust me. Okay? All right. So we have done that. Now let's flip over to, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And the heading is pray for all men, or pray for all people. You know, I've been really getting an understanding of the gospel of grace, the message of grace. Jesus is grace, gender equality, biblical equality. And that's one of the things that in everything that's going on in our society right now with the divisiveness and, you know, the amplification of strife, which is what's going on right now. The number one thing that it's going to take for any change to take place, because we have to have a foundation for change before we can actually see change. Because if we think we see change but there's no foundation, what's going to happen when the change that we're trying to get doesn't work because we don't have anything, we don't have a foundation for it to stand on. It'll, you know, it's like the guy who built his house on sand and it sunk. You know, you got to have a solid foundation. And the solid foundation for any type of change that's going to take place when it comes to all of the strife and the division and the inequalities that are going on is you must view another human being as equal. Because until you see me as equal, we can't go anywhere. And equality means I don't think of myself any more higher than you. Well, I don't think of myself as being high, superior to you, but neither do I think of myself as being inferior. We both have, and please understand the context of what I'm saying. We both have 10 fingers. We both have 10 toes. We both have a nose. We both have 2 eyes. We both have, we can both speak. We can, you know, there's equality. Now, my skin may be a little bit darker. My pigmentation may be darker than yours. Yours may be lighter than mine. But we're still equal. I can still think. I can process information. I can read. I can write. And I know arithmetic. I can go work a job. Now, we may work different jobs. Yours may be a little bit more complex than mine. But that doesn't negate the equality that we have. Because the man that, or woman that picks up the garbage is just as important as the person that created the rocket. Because I guarantee you, if nobody came around to pick up trash, they're not concerned about that rocket taking off, which it still has its place. It still has its place. But we all are, you know, we all have our part. We all play a vital role. God, his assignment for each and every human is just as important as another person's. So that's very, very, very important. Okay, 12 minutes. Got to finish up this series on this separation series. My God, what is, you know what, though? See, when it's God's show, you really got to stick with his plan. So, all right, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, pray for all men. It says, Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So if you really want to start your day out, pray for people. Pray for all men. Pray for China. Pray for Asia. Pray for Australia. Pray for Antarctica. Pray for South America, North America. Pray India. You know, pray for these places, Ethiopia. Pray because there are people that live there. And it says right here, pray for all men. It says for kings. Now, we can translate that word king, president. I ain't praying for no that man that's in the White House in America. See, you what you just said was, no, that's what you said. You said, I ain't doing it. God asked you to pray for people. He didn't ask you to judge them. He didn't ask you to talk about them negatively. He asked you to pray for them. That's simple. And I'm talking to Christians. We're talking to born-again people who say they love God. So it says right here, we need that giving the thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, Congress, senators, Republicans, Democrats, city managers, city council. Well, I don't like them. Well, it doesn't, there's no stipulation in here that says pray for them if you like them. It doesn't say that. It simply says to pray for them. Pretty good. Now watch the benefit. It says all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. So you can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence if you choose to exhort, first of all, say, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So if you give thanks for all men, if you pray for all men, you intercede for all men, you give supplications for all men, You give thanks for all men, especially kings, all those in authority. You can lead a quiet and peaceable life. So there's a reward on the other side of your obedience to what the word says. So I encourage you to do that. All right, 9 minutes. Let's see what we're going to do here. Okay, flip over to Exodus chapter 3, and we'll start out, let's see. I'll just start talking, and then if time runs out, time runs out. Here we go. Okay. Go to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 20. Verse 20. Okay. Because God, he speaks the end from the beginning. That's what I like about him. I like a lot of things about God. It's just so cool how he operates, too. Let's see, Exodus chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he, Egypt, will let you go. And I will give this people," talking about his people, God talking about his people right here, "this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, gold and clothing, and you shall put them, you shall plunder the Egyptians." Now, you understand something. The Israelites were a prototype of the church today. The Egyptians were a prototype of the world today, or they would represent the world today. Have you noticed that there's a, like me, I'm paying off debts in the midst of a pandemic. I paid off a vehicle. I paid off two high-interest credit cards. And I'm about to pay off another debt probably in about, let's say, about 4 or 5 days from now. So I'm paying debt off. If you're going to give me finances, I'm going to use them to give you your money so that I don't have to be in bondage to you anymore. Do you know what it's like to be able to walk into a store and buy whatever you want to buy and not have to be concerned about if the check clears or if the car clears? That is one of the greatest feelings in the world. It truly is. Or to be able to you see somebody that they're in a grocery store and they're in front of you and they've rang up $50 worth of groceries, but they didn't realize that, you know, I mean, they probably did, but I'm just saying they were $10 short. So you just pay for all of the groceries. So that way they still got their money and they've got their groceries. Now you talk about an opportunity to be able to witness to somebody when that happens. That's how God operates, because now you've got an avenue by which you've got their attention. Or just to be able to, you know, I don't want to make it out like money is the end all, but money makes an excellent servant, horrible master. This guy told me that one day, and that stuck with me, because a lot of times we live in a society where your money, well, not in society, but we've kind of been trained to just stay in debt. Look at a commercial, a automobile commercial. Next time you know. One comes across, they don't even mention or suggest paying cash for a vehicle. Why is that? Well, if I can get you to finance the vehicle, I can get the interest from you over the next 7 or 8 years. How about paying cash for a house? This is why it's so important that we renew our mind with the Word of God, because God, he thinks freedom, liberty. This minister, he used this word that really got my attention. He said he has the sovereignty to be able to spend money however he so chooses. Now, I know because of his character, he doesn't just, you know, waste money or spend it frivolously. He doesn't do that. He's the man is a multimillionaire. But he understands what debt can do. He understands how debt can keep you in, in bondage. So he made a choice that he was not going to live in bondage. And as a result, he can now be a blessing to people. See, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Which means there's no toil. There's no, you're not struggling. You're not, you know, I got to get rich. I got to make this money. I got to do that. God doesn't, I'm blessed. So what happens is, as a result of knowing that I'm blessed, God can cause the results of the blessing. Things are attracted to me because I'm blessed, because God knows I'm going to use the money to build up the kingdom. And there are numerous different ways I bless people. I can be a blessing to people. Sometimes it's I encountered an elderly lady in the grocery store today, and she was attempting to, I mean, she had it. She told me she could handle it. It was a case of water that she's going to put in the buggy. So I said, hey, do you have that? She said, oh, I got it. And in those situations, yes, I'm being a gentleman, but at the same time, my desire was to be a blessing to her. And I was still a blessing because I took the time to just ask, and I respected the fact that she has her faculties and her strength to where she can still pick up a case of water. So that's a blessing in itself, because at her age, there are those who can't pick up a case of water. So the whole situation was just, God loves that kind of stuff. He loves that kind of stuff. He loves the fact that I took the time to ask her. He loves the fact that she still got her strength and vigor to where she can pick. But you see what I'm saying? When you're blessed, you think about, how can I bless people? How can I show up and be a relief? How can I show up and I've got the pitcher of water and I'm pouring and I can fill somebody's cup? And then I can just keep filling cups. So God keeps filling my cup, and I just give out of the overflow. Because God is, you know, the blessings are, they've definitely been overtaking me, because there's some stuff been going on. It's like, wow. Because what listeners don't know is, and I was sharing this with a dear sister of mine, a young lady. I was sharing with her. I think it was with her. It might have been some. Let me see. I was sharing it with somebody. Where this time last year, I was sleeping in my vehicle. But now, I'm in a position to where I can sleep anywhere I want to sleep. I can sleep in a penthouse in a hotel, or I can rent me an apartment for however long. Right now, my thing is, God has blessed me to the point that his blessing, the results of the blessing, has overtaken me to where I can now make decisions that I couldn't make a year ago, because I'm blessed. Now, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, what that means is you've never accepted, you know, you've never exchanged your sin through Adam for Jesus' righteousness. What that means is, Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, and it affected all of humanity forever. That's just how it worked. Well, God had to have a way to get humanity out of that situation. So what happened is, he asked Jesus, will you go be the payment to get them out of this mess? Jesus says, sure. God told him what he got to do, head down the cross, go to hell, take the keys back, and then restore the relationship with God, man and God. So Jesus did that. And then God said, well, anybody that believes that you died for them, and, you know, that you died in their place, I'll accept them as being back in the family. And all the person has to do is just believe that and accept Jesus, and they're back in the family. So just believe Jesus took care of everything for you. Talk to God about it, and you'll be good to go. Hey, look, I got to go. Time's up. We'll talk another time. Bye-bye.